if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Might we get back to the beginning of things and start right there. Amen. Genesis, chapter 6. I'm glad I got me a King James Bible. Amen. I don't want a new King James. I like the old King James. It's got all the words in it. And new King James don't talk like the old King James talk. I can understand the old King James. He was simple and straightforward and plain, just meant what he said and said what he meant. And no innuendo and none of that kind of stuff. So if you got a Bible, make sure you get a real Bible, a King James Bible, not a new King James Bible. Just read it and believe it and live it and practice it and you'll be in good shape. Amen. I never heard anybody getting led astray just going by the Bible. They get led astray by preachers and teachers and translations and commentaries. But I never heard anybody getting all messed up just reading the Bible. Amen. So get yourself a good King James Bible and read that thing and you'll be all right. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They wrote a song about that one time. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. Within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, wisdom to preach. And I pray, oh God, that the word of God might be quick and powerful, that it might reach down and touch the hearts and lives and change the direction of the people assembled in this place. Help us, O God, to be drawn unto Thee. Help us to lift up, exalt, magnify Thy great name, for Thou art worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, the little passage we just read, everybody has read that. If you've read any Bible at all, you read about Noah and the flood and our animals, two by two, and all that stuff. And if you ever went to daily vacation Bible school, if you ever went to Sunday school, even the Methodists and the Presbyterians tell this story. Amen. This is universally applied part of the Scripture. Now, some of them other churches may skip the plan of salvation and a few things like that, but they've all got the story of Noah and the ark. And they sing all them little songs, you know, there was going to be a floody, floody, and Noah built an arky, arky, and all that kid stuff, you know. But true, this flood wasn't a kid story. And it wasn't a funny thing. It's serious business. But I want to bring you a message this morning on this thought. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. And it wasn't. The truth is, there'd been a real drought. The honest truth is, up until that point and time in human history, it never had rained. To be perfectly candid, they never heard of rain. If you looked in Noah Webster's dictionary, in Noah's day, rain wasn't found in the dictionary. It wasn't a word, and it had no definition because it did not exist. And so in Noah's day, rain was, to say the very least, a concept that had not reached its time. It was a concept whose day had not arrived. It was at best a scientific theory and perhaps a subjective, you know, it was a possibility, but it had no reality. It was like theoretical science. Perhaps they thought, you know, if the mist that arose from the ground under certain circumstances, the possibility of the condensation from the heavens above might produce rain, but that's the best it could be. It was just conjecture. It was a theoretical possibility. But nobody had ever really seen any. See, so rain wasn't even in the dictionary. And so when Noah is instructed by God to build this boat to float, he must have seemed like a real nut job. I mean, he must have been the fruitcake of the day. And I've told you before, you know, that in Noah's day, the favorite pastime, the sport of the hour, is what they called arking. And people would go down, and here would be Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they're out there building this huge wooden tub to float on a theoretical conjecture called rain. And so they built grandstands all around the ark. And they had popcorn stands and soda stands. And you could go down and take your family for a day at the ark site and poke fun at and root for, laugh at and ridicule Shem, Ham, and Japheth and old Noah as they cut and sawed and hammered and put on the pitch and sealed the joints with the tar. And you could laugh at old man Noah. He would walk up on the bow of that boat and stand up. And he would open up Enoch's sermon notes and he'd say, "God said, I'm a-coming with vengeance in my heart. And I'm going to take vengeance on all them that know not God." Boy, he'd rant and rave. And everybody down there would eat and throw popcorn in the air. And yeah, preach on, man, preach. Woo, glory. And they just had the time of their life down there. Now, the truth is, Noah probably wouldn't have got much play if the NFL or NASCAR had already been in existence. But he was the only act on the block. And so he just sold out. Everybody come down, they poke fun at that old fool. Stand up there, rant and rave and talk about God's wrath and rain and floods. And man, been here 2,000 years, they ain't never seen none of that. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. But Noah built the ark because it was going to rain. What kind of fool believed that? If you live 300 years, 400 years, 500 years, 365 years like Enoch, 800 years like Methuselah, I mean, if you lived all them years and you never saw a drop of rain, you never saw a cloudy sky, you never felt the breeze that brings the thunderstorm on a warm, sunny summer evening, and some old fool and three whacked out teeny boppers got out their hammer and their saw and their glue buckets and started building some fool contraption bigger than a football field, you'd probably poke fun at them too, wouldn't you? And so arkin was the sport of the day, and everybody was in on it, and it was always on the 6 o'clock news. The only people that even tried to tell the truth about it was Fox TV. Everybody else had a liberal slant. But it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. in a little more bit more of a serious vein, because it illustrates a point that we have today. Things are not so much different now than they were then. For example, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, if you'll look down there, and I have to flip pages because I didn't have any space left in Genesis, and I'm 3 or 4 chapters back the other way. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible said, "And God said it unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So in Genesis 6:13, you need to understand that Noah lived in a doomed world. The world that Noah lived in with his sons and his sons' wives and his wife and all their other kinfolks and all their friends and all their acquaintances and everybody that Noah had ever known, the world he lived in was a doomed world. Now the only people that knew that was Noah and God. You talk about a minority, a well-kept secret. The destruction of the planet, which was a dead certainty, the decree had been issued by God Himself and was as sure to occur as God Almighty can make it. Noah knows it, God knows it, and Noah is trying to tell everybody about it. Nobody believing and nobody knows. But the earth is under a curse. It is going to be destroyed. God said, "I've seen enough. I've had enough. I'm full of it right up to here. I'm not going to take it anymore. The end of all flesh has come before my eyes." He said, "I'm going to wipe it out." So Noah lives in a condemned world. Man, if you'd have told that to anybody down at Walmart, there wouldn't nobody believe that. You could go into work on Monday morning and say, "Listen, the world is going to be destroyed. The world is going to be destroyed. The end is coming. The end is coming. The sky is falling." And everybody laughed you to scorn. They thought you were some kind of moron. Amen? Here's poor old Noah out there trying to warn everybody and tell everybody. And he's crying aloud and he's trying to warn them of the wrath to come and all that stuff. And everybody just laughing at him. Ain't nobody believes that story. But the truth is, the real truth is, the world that Noah lived in was doomed. The world you live in is doomed, whether you believe it or not. See, people say, "Well, I've been hearing that all my life, ever since I was a little boy. My grandma used to tell me that Jesus was coming and the end was coming and that God was going to destroy the earth with fire and all." Said, "I've heard that all my life and I ain't seen it. I'm just not so sure that's a true story." It's good to keep kiddies in line, you know. We tell the same story. I tell that same story all the time. And you know what? People just laugh. They look at you and smile. And like you're just a little demented, you know. And the preacher's over the top. And he means well and he's a nice fella, but he's just a screwball. Don't bother me. I'm here to tell you the world you live in is a doomed world. God has issued a decree and judgment will come and this old world that you live in will go up in smoke. Amen? And you can laugh at me, and you can laugh at Brother Lewis like they laughed at Noah and Shemham and Japheth, and it won't change a thing. It's like some moron saying, "Well, I don't believe in God." Well, that'll make God go away, won't it? I mean, that'll fix that. "I just don't believe it." Well, I don't believe the sun's coming up in the morning. But guess what? The rest of the world's going to see it. Yeah, what you believe is only valid if what you believe is so. Pretending something is so don't make it so. Now the truth is that the flood came in Noah's day. The world was doomed and everything that had breath in its nostrils died when God sent the destruction. And I'm here to tell you, one of these days God's going to judge this old sin-cursed world and everything in it's going to die. You're going to burn up. Amen? Well, they didn't believe it in Noah's day either. They just laughed at old fool. He just read that Bible so much it just made him go crazy. You know, too much religion will warp your mind. The second thing is this. Not only did Noah live in a doomed world, he lived in a wicked world. Look at Genesis 6:5. Genesis 6:5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, this is what it was like in Noah's day. The earth was doomed. It was damned. There was divine retribution coming. There was divine judgment coming. Nobody knew it. And when they were told about it, nobody believed it. Nobody was fearful. But it was a true fact anyway. But in that world, because they didn't believe judgment was coming, they didn't believe God was going to show up, they didn't believe that the end of the world was on the way, they lived like the devil. And the earth was filled with wickedness. And the imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. I thought, my goodness, if there's ever been a parallel in the Bible, surely there's a parallel here. The world you live in is only filled with evil, and the imagination of our heart is only evil continually. When I was a much younger man, I used to think that I knew a lot of stuff. I was always a reader. I was always somewhat introspective. And I thought, I'll be honest with you, I thought I had an inside track on human behavior that the average person didn't have. I still believe that. Time hasn't changed that. But it has changed some aspects about it or some points of view about it. And I seem to never cease to be amazed at things people come up with. You would think that there would be a limit on the things that the human mind could corrupt or distort. There just doesn't seem to be. I was watching the news the other night, and there's a multi-billion dollar scam on Medicare, Medicaid, on the homeless. They have spent millions, multiplied millions of dollars, and the hospitals did it. They have gone down on the street and found the homeless, taken them in and given them diagnosis, and then treated them for it when there was nothing wrong with them so they could collect the Medicare and Medicaid money. And what they were doing, they were buying these guys a pack of cigarettes, a bottle of gin, paying for them to spend the night in a flop house for $3. And for that, these people would go in and sign that they had received this medical test and they had received this treatment and had been given this kind of medicine. And the hospitals, with malice aforethought, and they're talking about bunches and bunches, not just one hospital, scores and scores of hospitals are in on it. Because it's a very lucrative business ripping the government off. I thought, man, if you can't trust your hospital, we're in bad shape. The imaginations of the thoughts of the heart are only evil continually. And people say, the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. Now that new translation says it's the roots of all kinds of evil. No, listen, honey, I've been studying this thing for 36 years and I'm here to tell you, the love of money is the root of all evil. That Bible got it right when it said it. Don't listen to that new translation, they're lying to you. Now, the world Noah lived in was not only doomed, it was an evil world. There's not a day goes by that there's not a report from somewhere. They got this mother now that looks like she has killed her little two-year-old baby. Yesterday, I think, was the birthday. Yesterday or today would have been the third birthday of this little baby. Cute as a button. They show them pictures as a pretty little old girl. That little old girl is missing. And the police are convinced mama and maybe grandmama had something to do with it. I mean, Nancy Grace is really on her case. My wife loves Nancy Grace. said, what is it? That's just Susan Smith took her own flesh and blood, children that came forth from her own bowels, put them in the back seat of a car and pushed them into a river and watched them disappear beneath the cold, dark waters and saw the tears and the fear on the faces of them little boys and watched them pound on the windows and turned around and walked away so she could have another man. The Bible said, can a mother forget her sucking child? Yea, they may forget. Without natural affection. I'm telling you, you live in a wicked world. When mamas, I never seen so many daddies raising kids. Say, so where are the mamas? They out whoring around. They got no natural affection for the fruit of their own womb. I mean, you live in a wicked, wicked, wicked world. I never seen so many grandmas and grandpas raising young'uns, because mama and daddy laid up and had them babies and then walk away from their duties and their responsibilities. Let me tell you something, sweetheart. They ain't mine. I ain't raising them. Amen. And if you a grandma or grandpa, you say, well, if we don't do it, what'll happen to them? I don't know. Find out. I just can't do that. I know, and you'll live in a mess the rest of your life too, and raise yourself three or four young'uns, what ain't yourn? Somebody say amen. Talking about Noah lived in a doomed world. Noah lived in a wicked world. I'll tell you something else. He was forewarned of the wrath to come. In Genesis 6:13, if you want to flip over there and take a look at that, Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy the earth with them. What did God say? He said, the end of all flesh is come before me. Who did he told that to Noah. Now what's he doing? He's warning Noah about what's going to happen down the road. It doesn't happen for another 120 years. But it happened. But God gave him the warning. Amen? It didn't just sneak up on him. It didn't happen without any appraisal of what was going to happen. God said, Noah, here's what I'm going to do. And here's how I'm going to do it. And here's when I'm going to do it. And Noah was free to tell his family and anybody else that would listen. But God said, this is the plan. This is how it's going to be. There's no ifs, ands, nor buts about it. It's not will it happen or it might happen. He said, I'm telling you, I've had it right up here, and this is what's going to happen. You can take this to the bank, write it down. It's sealed in stone. It's etched in concrete. It's not going anywhere. This is what we're going to do. You better warn the world. Now, it ain't rain to drop. Remember, it's dry weather. We're living in Arizona here. It's hot and dry, but there's a forecast of rain on the way. And not a cloud in the sky. The barometer's not falling. None of the evening weather reports are predicting anything. If you'd have watched the evening thing there, with what's that skinny guy on WBC? The weather guy? Eric Thomas. If you'd have watched Eric Thomas, he'd have said, mist rise in the morning at 6:45. Heavier than usual mist rising from the ground tomorrow. Now be careful, grass may be slick and slippery. Well, you got to put yourself, that's the way it was back then. There wasn't nobody saying nothing about no rain or nothing. Amen? And so Eric, just when he gave his evening forecast, man, it was about the dew level and the mist rising from the ground. Y'all read that in the Bible, didn't you? I thought you did. Now, Noah was warned. Problem was, nobody believed nothing he said. Do you know what Noah was in his day? He was a religious fruitcake. He just had him a little cult and had him a little following there, had about, 7 people. Can't you see old Noah sitting there on Sunday morning? He'd get up on the bow of the ark, and Mrs. Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Mrs. Shem and Mrs. Japheth and Mrs. Ham would sit there, and maybe they'd sit there and they'd all have their little hymn books, and Noah would say, now turn to page 431 and we'll sing Just As I Am Without One Plea, but let thy blood be shed for me, O Lamb of God. And man, they'd all stand and Noah would lead the singing, and they would stand and everybody would sing, and it'd be a great service. And he'd say, all right, now you can be seated. Now open your Bible there. Open Enoch's sermon notes to sermon 365. And he'd say, now Enoch said... And boy, he'd start preaching. And that old man had walked back and forth, and he had sling slobber and spit all over the first three rows, and all them folks sitting up there dodging spittle and stuff, you know. And that man would, I mean, he would wax eloquent, and he would be broke out in a sweat, and he'd be telling them, and God said, at the end of all flesh has come before mine eyes. I'm telling you, this world is damned. This world is doomed. And in God's good time, and at the appointed time, destruction will come from the... Boy, and he preached the truth. I mean, he told it like it was. It was Gun Barrel Street. Everybody just laughed. Say, why? Because it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. It was just a joke. I saw a thing the other day. Out in Vegas, they get about 4 inches of rain a year. They had a cloud burst out the other day and had about 15 inches in about 30 minutes. Which meant 45 minutes ahead of time, if you'd have said, there's going to be a flood, downtown Vegas will be 6 inches deep in water, everybody would have laughed you to scorn. But you know something? 45 minutes later, there was 6 inches of water on Main Street of Vegas. But nobody would have believed that story. And nobody believed Noah. And I'm telling you the truth, I don't see whether anybody believes me and Lewis or anybody else. We get up and preach that judgment is coming. Man shall give an account of every idle word. Every knee shall bow. Every mouth shall confess that Jesus is the Christ, the glory of God the Father. Ain't nobody listening. We say Jesus is coming. The throne's going to be set. The day of judgment will come. We quote them that stuff over there and ask about whereby he will judge the world in righteousness by that man that he appointed and given assurance and raised him from the dead. Amen. We get over there in the book of Revelation saying, I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the Lamb book of life. The dead were judged out of the things written in the book, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And people say, oh, well, I've heard that all my life. And nobody believes it no more. You know why our churches are empty? Ain't nobody believes it. They've got alternate theories now. Science has taken over. We are the product of evolution. Time and chance got you here. I'll tell you what. If time and chance equals God, it equals evolution. If time and chance is God, he isn't a very good job either. I don't know why they're so proud of him. Look at the mess this place is in. Everybody you know hates everybody else you know. Ain't nobody likes nobody. And all flesh is corrupt. And everybody's just in it what they can get for themselves. Amen. The hospitals are corrupt. The government's corrupt. The education is corrupt. Individuals are corrupt. We made a lot of progress. You know, they talk about we're making progress. We're making progress. Things are moving onward and upward. Really. 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 You ever hear these advertisements on TV where they say, every 3 minutes in America, there's a burglary. Every 9 minutes, there's a rape. 50% of all marriages end in divorce. There's 3 million abortions in America last year. Out of them 3 million, about 2.5 million of them was women playing the whore, who got caught in their illicit activity and would not accept the responsibility of their conduct. Great country. Somebody say amen. Not only that, Noah was warned in advance. Here's the strangest thing about this whole story. Noah believed the warning. Look in chapter 6, verse 22. Chapter 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God said, Noah, I'm going to tear this thing up. I'm going to turn this whole place into a swamp. You talk about making mud pies and building sandcastles. When I get through, there'll be enough water for all that. He said, I'm going to send rain, and buddy, I'm going to flood the whole thing. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to build this boat, and here's exactly how big I want you to make it, and here's how wide and how long and how tall. Here are the construction plans. Here's the mechanical and the electrical and the whole nine yards. I mean, build it, dude. And Noah said, man, I believe he's serious about that. And he took them blueprints home, laid them out on the kitchen table, and looked at them. He said, I think I can pull this off. I'll get them boys to help me. We'll get some power saws and stuff out here, and we'll start hewing down timber, and we're going to build us a boat just like God said. And then boy said, Daddy, why are we doing this? And by the way, where'd you get them blueprints anyway? If I'd have been them boys, I'd have thought about that. And so he said, God gave them to me, and here's what God wants me to do, and here's why. And they said, okay, Daddy, if you're convinced, you've been our daddy now for 355 years, and you've never lied to us, never let us down, and so we're going to go with you, and we're going to throw in our lot with you, and we're going to trust you for our lives and for the wives of our lives and the lives of our future children. We're with you. And they said, now, boys, if y'all start with me, there ain't no backing out, because once everybody's going to think you're crazy, and there won't be no going back. So if you throw your lot in with me, you better be ready to sign on for the whole ride. They said, we're with you. And they've started. And the fun started. And the ridicule started. Amen. The point is, Noah believed God. Noah believed God. Now listen, if anybody ever wants to be saved or delivered from the wrath of God, from the destruction to come, the first step in the whole process, I know you got to hear the message. You have to be warned in advance, just like Noah was, but somewhere along the line, if you want to be delivered, you have got to believe what you're told. You know what people do these days? They say, well, that's just Preacher Hensley's opinion. Well, I know Brother Lewis believes that, but blah, 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 blah. And you go on about your way and think we're amusing and entertaining and colorful and all that, and me much more than him. And go about your merry way and ignore everything we say. And live your lives like this is the only life you're ever going to have. And this is the most important thing in the world. And live like there's no tomorrow and no eternity. Go ahead! And just like in Noah's day, they laughed at him and they did not believe him. And they perished when the destruction came. Noah believed God and Noah was delivered because he believed and obeyed. Now I hear people all the time say, well, oh, preacher, I believe in God. And I'll preach, I believe the Bible. It said that Noah moved with fear to the saving of his house. You see, he didn't believe it like most people today believe it. Today, it's just an intellectual thing. We believe it in our head. Ain't going to get you nowhere. Noah believed it so that he moved with fear. That is, it made him perform. It made him do something. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, and I believe in salvation by grace through faith without works and all that stuff. I believe that. But if what you got won't change your life, it won't make you follow Christ, if it won't make you turn from your sin, you ain't got nothing going to save you in the end. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm sick and tired of this television Christianity where you just, you know, sign a card or make a statement, and it doesn't change it. It won't make you quit drinking. It won't make you quit lying. It won't make you quit fornicating. It don't clean you up. It doesn't change you. What good is it? What good is it? Real Christianity makes you a new creature. I'm a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Noah believed. It wasn't raining. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. He just believed the story. I like to imagine things. I try to put the Bible into action in my head. You know, I try to picture it like you think it might have been. And so, now here, God shows up one day and he's talking to Noah. And maybe Noah just got up from his afternoon siesta or something. And he's a little groggy and a little tired, and he's looking for a cold drink of water. And the Lord stops by to talk to him. And the Lord's telling him how aggravated he is, and how outdone he is, and how fed up he is with all the wickedness and stuff. And just out of a clear blue sky, he unloads on Noah how he's going to destroy the whole place. But he tells Noah, he said, now you live different, and your family's different. Y'all look peculiar, a little weird. He said, if you'll do this, I'll get you through that flood. And Noah believes him. And Noah followed the instructions. In our business, if you know anything about contracting, HVAC and building buildings and heating and air and that kind of stuff, they always have a set of blueprints to go by. And some engineer copies them from somebody else. And they got nothing to do with what you're building. And that's the reason there's 500 change orders on it when you get through with it. Amen. But they give you this set of blueprints, and you say, this is what I'm going to build. And then when you get all through, and everybody's all through with it, we give to the owner of the building what we call as-builts. That's where we go by and show how we changed what they designed so it would work. Because a lot of times what they gave you won't work. And we have to fix it for that bunch of dummies. Amen. And so you got two sets of blueprints. You got the one the engineer gave you, and you got the one what we built. Amen. In Noah's day, there was no as-built. Noah just did it like God said, do it. You know one of the problems with the world today? Even for those folks who believe in God and life after death and judgment and this, that, and the other, they don't want to do it according to the blueprint. They all want to figure out their own way to do it. When God said, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. All them clear verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works. It's the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? Couldn't make it much clearer than that. They said, well, I know that's true, but I believe if I just do the best I can, I believe if I get baptized and go to church on Sunday, I'll be okay. What about receiving Christ? Well, I don't think that's really necessary. I think that's the way it was back then, but things have changed. And as long as I'm sincere and do the best I can, I think I'll be all right at that day. You're an idiot. You better go by the blueprint. And that book said, you got to receive Christ, you're going to perish. Amen? That Bible said, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's called an imperative. We must be saved. Are there any alternates? Are there any exclusions? Are there any change orders? Now, if you get yourself another Bible, you might find some change orders. God only knows what's in them things. But if you get the original blueprint, that 1611 Bible, there aren't any exceptions. There aren't any rewrites. There aren't any change orders. And so Noah did exactly what God said. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to go home to glory, you're going to do it God's way or you ain't going. You got that? So, well, I feel this way, and I feel that way, and I don't give a flip what you think, and I don't care what you say. There is one way to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Got that? There is one Savior. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Your church is not going to get there. Your denomination is not going to get you there. Your good living is not going to get you there. Your righteousness is not going to get you there. There is none righteous. The only thing that's going to get you there is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you exercise faith in what He did on Calvary's cross, God counts that to you for righteousness. And if you don't do that, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to be standing outside the ark banging on the wall. Let me in! Let me in! If I had only known, who knew it was going to rain? Why, everybody knew it was going to rain. Just nobody believed it was going to rain. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. If
If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to follow the instructions. You can't improvise. You can't use substandard material. You can't devise another plan. You can't draw another blueprint. The honest truth is, I know a lot of people hate this, but it's God's way or no way. Amen? It's God's way or the highway. Now, not only that, not only did Noah follow the instruction in verse 6, Noah was subject to ridicule. Now, I might have spent a lot of time on that because I already had some fun with that. But I just don't know if you could overstate what Noah and his boys must have gone through when they started to build that boat. Now, they had a perfect climate. You didn't need to build houses. There was no logging industry. You couldn't go down to Home Depot or Lowe's and buy a 4x4. Nobody needed that stuff. They lived, you know, it was a great place to live. And so Noah was probably the first person to ever cut anything down. And he goes out there and he finds this great big old tree. I mean, now we're building a boat, 300 cubits, 900 feet. That's a pretty good sized boat. That's about the size of Queen Mary. So he had some big timbers. I thought about this one time. It's got nothing to do with this message. But I tell you what, there must have been some engineering went on there. Here are four men going to build a boat 900 feet long and 100 feet high and 150 feet wide. And he's going to build it to withstand a storm severe enough to flood the whole planet. And he's going to fill it full of elephants and rhinoceroses and all kind of stuff. That's got to be some boat. Amen? And they got to put all the gravy mix and all the canned green beans and the pork and beans and stuff. They got to store all that stuff to live on for a year or so. Do you know how many bales of hay an elephant eats in a year? That's a pretty good sized boat. Amen? And so here four guys going to build this boat. They got to have some big old timbers. You ever try to figure out how they got them things out of the woods and got them down there by the on the flat ground and got them up on that frame and attached them things together? What they use for drills and saws and axes? Winches. How'd they hoist? When that thing was about 60 feet high on the side, how'd they get them timbers up there to weigh a ton and a half apiece? You think people wasn't coming down there looking at that? This is modern marvels here we're talking about. They could have been engineering disasters. Anyway, that's an aside. I just thought you ought to think about stuff like that sometimes, you know. Get your mind as messed up as mine. You can go anywhere you want to. I go to my happy place the whole time. Anyway, so Noah's down there building that boat, and he's got three boys to help him. And so everybody's coming down, and they said, why are you building a boat? Because it's going to rain. Oh. Okay, now tell me, really, why are you doing this? It's going to rain. Okay. Now listen, knock off the junk, okay? I mean, just between me and you, I won't tell anybody. Just let me in on it. Why are you out here making a spectacle of yourself? Do you know what the ladies are saying about your wife when she goes down to Walmart shopping? I can't help what they're saying. It's, I got to build this boat. Well, just, okay. I don't mind you building a boat. Just tell us why you're doing it. I mean, the truth. Come off of the flood stuff and the rain stuff. You know, everybody knows that's just a cover story. What's the real deal? Noah was up against it. He suffered 120 years of ridicule. He was laughed at and mocked and poked fun at. And he just kept cutting timber and driving nails. Amen? I mean, he kept Home Depot in business for a century and a quarter. And everybody just thought he was insane. And what's bad is, you know, he has conned them boys in to believe in that same story he's telling us. Them poor children, they love their dad, and he's just pressured them, and look, he's ruining their lives, and he's ruined their reputation. Do you see how it could have been that way, right? Noah just keeps cutting and hammering and cutting and hammering and preaching. And as time went along and nothing happened, people just got wilder and wilder with their accusations and their unbelief. Like today, you know, the longer it goes before Jesus comes back, people just get more arrogant and they get nastier about it and they have less respect for God and the church and the people of God, and they're just laughing at you and poking fun at you. And you know what you got to do? You just got to endure it and keep on, and you got to be sweet and nice. And you gotta love them and pray for them, and you gotta stick to the story. Why? Why are you living like that? Because Jesus is coming back. The rapture's gonna take place. They don't believe it. They think you've just kind of popped out there somewhere, flipped out a little. You're sweet and nice, and we thank God people like you in society. I'd rather live beside one of you religious kooks than to live beside a rapist or a pedophile or something, you know. Thank God for you. You're just a little touched in the head, but harmless. Not only that, Noah was delivered from the wrath to come. In chapter 7 and verse 23, and it said, turn over there and look at that for right quick. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the earth, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now Noah told that story for 120 years, and he told it as the truth. He was convinced of it. He believed it. He practiced it. It moved him to build the ark and save himself and his family. And finally, the fateful day, the day that nobody believed existed, the day that nobody ever thought would come, came. You know, I've been hearing for years, I read all of, what's the guy that had the place up in Virginia Beach? Edgar Casey, the Sleeping Prophet. Edgar Casey on Atlantis and all this stuff. He's got the Institute for Research and Enlightenment up in Virginia Beach, because when the big earthquake comes, that's going to be the safest place to be and all that. So I felt real secure there for years when we were stationed up there. And I've become a little paranoid since we moved. But he talks about how California's going to slip off into the Pacific out there, you know, and all that stuff. And I've been praying for that day. And well, I've been hearing for years and years, you know, that California is built right over that fault line, and the San Andreas fault runs out through the Pacific and all that stuff out toward Hawaii and all that stuff. And one of these days there's going to be this giant earthquake, and we're going to lose about half the West Coast. Now, I hope it goes on past the Midwest, because some of them Midwesterners are weird too, you know. But when it sinks, the water's going to come up over here, I've been hearing that for years and years. I probably read them books 30 years ago, and it ain't happened yet. I first read that, boy, I was excited. I thought, glory to God, this guy went in a trance. He saw things to come. He's a prophet, you know. He's a prognosticator of prognosticators. And surely, big giant earthquake in California will disappear. And somebody will holler, "Surf's up!" over here. And but it hadn't happened yet. Amen. And so after a while, I quit worrying about it. I'm not even looking for California to disappear anymore. I'm looking for them to turn it into a comic strip in the paper. How many of y'all heard that? Y'all heard about California going to disappear into the ocean? But it ain't happened, has it? How many earthquakes they had out there since you heard that story? You say, "Oh, this is going to be the big one here. Boy, this is going to be the big one here." They'll have an 8.6 on the Richter scale, and the aftershock will be a 30, and it'll be doomsday. But it ain't happened. So after a while, you just kind of lose interest. It's something to talk about, but it you know, we've been telling the folks that Jesus is coming for a long time. And you know what? He ain't come. And so you know what most folks do these days? Just like we do with California slipping off into the Pacific. We just talk about it. It's just conversation kind of thing.
something to snicker at or make a joke about or make a comment about. But nobody's taking it serious. Did anybody get up this morning to check Fox News to see if California disappeared into the Pacific? I didn't. I got up this morning to look for Joel Osteen. Nobody takes us serious. We say, you know, the Lord's coming back. Jesus is coming for His church.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Okay. They ain't nobody taking it serious. They didn't believe Noah either. You know why? You know why nobody believed Noah? Because it wasn't raining. I bet if it had been raining, they'd have listened. Amen? But then finally, the time comes and the rain comes. And Noah and his family are in that boat. And everybody else is outside. And they're pounding on the side. Saying, Noah, I really believed you, but my wife wouldn't let me say nothing. I wanted to be a member of your congregation for a long time. But you know I'm in public office. And if I'd have joined up, everybody would have... And so they just let old Noah go. And then the rains came. And suddenly, the world was filled with believers. Just a little late. But in chapter 7, verse 23, Noah is delivered. In chapter 8 and verse 16, after the waters subside, God opens the door and He said, go forth, thou and thy sons' wives. You know what? Noah was delivered from the wrath to come. The Bible asks a question in the New Testament. It said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, I want you to know, I have. Brother Lewis has. You know what our job is? We're warning you to flee from the wrath to come. Now, whether you flee or not, that's your business. Can we make you flee? No. Can we make you believe? No. Can we make you receive Christ? No. All we can do is tell you and tell the story and tell it for true and tell it with passion, tell it with conviction, tell it in honesty, tell it sincerely, and then it's up to you. I like this part of the story. Noah was delivered from the wrath to come, and he took some people with him. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Look over there for a second. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He said, Noah, you and your wife and your three young'uns and their wives. He said, all y'all get in the boat. Now the boat was big enough for a lot more. But only them eight got on. Noah was told the story by God. Noah was warned by God. But Noah managed to convince seven other people. Noah did not survive the flood alone. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all sitting here this morning say, I've heard the story. And I've repented of my sins and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm saved by God's grace. And I'm in that ark of safety. And when the day of wrath comes, I'll be delivered. And you know that. You've got Jesus in your heart. You're born again. Amen? You're a child of the King. You've got a ticket to enter the ark. You will be delivered when destruction comes. Let me ask you this question. How many are you going to take with you? You going to take anybody with you? Or are you going by yourself? I talked to a lady. This has been probably close to 30 years ago. This lady was very religious and wanted everybody to know it and how godly she was. And she may have been. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying anything negative about her except she's just an idiot. But this lady had been saved for 20-something years. And went by to visit with her and talked to her, and oh man, she could quote scripture and she knew all kind of stuff, and she seemed like a real lady and all that. And I was kind of impressed with her. And I said, is your husband saved? She said, well, I don't know. I said, how long you been saved? 20 years. How long you been married? 30 years. I said, you don't know if your husband's saved? Well, we just never talk about it. I thought, my God, how could you snuggle up to somebody night after night and utter, I love you, and believe that heaven was real and that hell was hot, and not talk about it? How could you come home to a wife at the end of a day? How could you greet a husband day after day, share the burdens and problems of life, and believe in your heart that unless you accept Christ, you're going to perish, that you're going to spend eternity as a devil's hell and spend 20 years with them, 20 years knowing the truth and never talk about it? I'll be quite honest with you, I can't even imagine that. I cannot possibly imagine that. That lady said she was saved, been saved 20 years, lived with that husband all those years, and if the rapture come, he'd have been left behind. She had made no provision to take anybody with her. You know why people do that? Because it's not raining. You know why people didn't get on the ark? It wasn't raining. The minute that first drop came down out of the sky, everybody's viewpoint changed. Problem was, when the rain started, it was too late. The ark was built. And when the rapture comes, when death comes, it'll be too late. If you're going to take anybody with you, you got to get them converted before the rain comes. You have to do it before you die. You have to do it before the rapture takes place. Wonder how many saved people, I mean really saved, are going to end up in glory, and their mamas or their daddies, their husbands or their wives, their children, their grandchildren are going to perish and go into a devil's hell and be burned in fire and brimstone day and night forever and ever and ever and ever, because mama and daddy did nothing to warn them, did nothing to get them converted, did nothing to get them saved, because I'm glad Noah took some with him. And buddy, when I go, Lord willing, I want to take some with me. I want my wife to go. I can't imagine what heaven would be like without my wife. My best friend in this whole world sits right here. Yesterday, I got up early, too early, and went and played golf. And got through about 12:30, quarter to 1. And I came home, and hot and sweaty, and took a shower, and the wife and I took a little nap. And got up, and she fixed this real nice cake, and I had a big old piece of that cake, cold glass of milk. We got dressed and went up to Shelby, North Carolina, and had a nice dinner, just the two of us. And went over to Bethel Baptist Church and to a gospel singing, listened to four different groups sing until about quarter to 11 last night, something like that. And we left Shelby after the gospel singing and went to Gastonia, North Carolina, and went to the Krispy Kreme there and had some hot and nows. And then we drove home and got home, went to bed, and spent the night curled up to my wife, and she was there this morning to wake me up. And we got up and got dressed and showered and got ready to come to church. Now what I'm saying is, we just had a really great weekend, just the two of us. We hadn't done anything super special, but it's been a very nice weekend. And I have really enjoyed it. I don't want to go to heaven and leave her here. I enjoyed her company. She makes me laugh. She's so funny. For a woman that's got such insight on people and some things, she's just got a brick wall about some others. And so we have a good time. A good time. And when I go home to glory, I want her to go too. Amen. Now I got three little young'uns. They're all grown now. They all mean as the devil. And I love them. And I've enjoyed them. And I've been so mad at them, I could have pinched their head off and thrown it at their dying. But, I mean, just, man, ain't nobody can infuriate you like your young'uns can. Amen. Now, I may have wanted to kill them, but if you ever touched a hair on their head, you better give your heart and soul to God because you're mine. Amen. I can get mad at them. You better keep your hands and your mouth off of them. I love them little suckers. I got six grandkids, all six different. You're talking about six distinct personalities. I love every one of them. They're all different. I love them all in a different way. There's something unique and something very special about every one of them. By the way, there's something about every one of them I don't like, too. Just want you. I've never met a person I couldn't find something about not to like. They're my grandyoungins. I don't know how much time and money I've spent on them grandkids in the last 12, 14, 15 years. Seems like everywhere we go, my wife finds something they need. So we always buying something. But it ain't for us, it's for them. And I'm tired of it. Man, I don't want to think about them not going to heaven. I don't want to think about them in hell. I can't do it. I can't think of that. So you know what I have to do? I have to work and pray and live and talk and witness all the time, consistently, diligently, faithfully, day in and day out and day in and year out until we get home to glory. Now, I know it's not raining now, but one of these days the flood's coming. I know Jesus is not here now, but Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to wait till it's too late. Amen. I'm glad Noah found a way to take some folks with him. Hey, I'm telling you, if you're saved by God's grace, you ought to be finding some ways. You ought to be spending some time in prayer and working at it and witnessing and talking and doing and living right, setting an example day in and day out. Say, why? Take them with you. Take them with you. I don't want to go in an empty boat. I might get tired and need somebody else to row. Let me close with this. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was. I was just having such a good time. I'll finish with this. Noah looked for something nobody believed in. Noah looked for rain. Nobody else believed in rain. You know, his wife and his children all got their information secondhand. The only one that got it right from God was Noah. Everybody else had to believe the report of somebody else. Hello? The apostles got it right from the Lord. The authors of the Scripture got it right from the Lord. Everybody else that ever got saved and delivered got it secondhand. Amen? Noah talked about something nobody believed in. He talked about it's going to rain. It's going to rain. We talk about rapture and judgment, rapture and judgment, rapture and judgment. We talk about something nobody believes in. But have you ever noticed that everywhere the gospel goes, there's always some that believe? There's always some. You go to any country, in any generation, in any century, and there's always some. And so if you and I will be busy to do what Noah did, Warn the world. Tell them. Put up with the ridicule. Put up with the being blasphemed. Folks being rude to you. Put up with being rejected and thought a lunatic. Put up with it. And be diligent and be faithful and be consistent year in and year out and day in and day out. And tell folks. Some will believe. And you can take somebody with you. But you have to do it while it's not raining. It was not raining when Noah built the ark. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we apologize for taking too much time. And I know folks have schedules and dinners and pot roasts in the oven, and I apologize. But I pray, oh God, that we might see the truth that the rain's coming. Judgment's coming. And we must cry aloud and spare not. We must lift up our voice like a trumpet. We have to do it before the rain comes. In Jesus' name, amen.